Well, it's good to be in church, isn't it? Let's all stand together. I'm going to read a passage in the book of Revelation. I like to, when I use Revelation, to remind everybody that the book of Revelation is not a book for interpretation. It's a book of Revelation. The interpretation is there by God Himself. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. But it's not a book to be used as many use it to argue about, well, what does this passage mean? What does that passage mean? If you don't know, you didn't get it revealed to you. This is a book for those that can receive revelation. And that's why many people can read from the book of Revelation and can't understand what they're reading, because they need the revelator to open their understanding, open up the ability to have the Word of God revealed. And that can happen if you have received the Holy Ghost, or if you've been obeying God, living on the promise that He will fill you with His Spirit. He will open your understanding somewhere along the way if you desire to understand better some good things in Revelation. I've heard all kinds of teaching from Revelation. Most of it has been false teaching. I'm sorry to say, most of it has been false. I've read a lot of books and commentaries about many things that are in Revelation. They're not according to the revelation that came to me from God Himself. And His book here backed up what God said, but those other books were way off. So be careful, little eyes, what you read, and little ears, what you hear. Amen. If you want to know what something means, it's in the book of Revelation. Seek for Jesus, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not some other person's revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we get it, it all ends up being the same thing. And it's something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. Something to rejoice about. I want to go to the passage in the third chapter of the book of Revelation concerning the church in Philadelphia. Hallelujah. And these are in my book here. It's written in red letters, making it easy to understand that these are the words of Jesus. In the original, you didn't have red letters, and you didn't even have English language. I am not the least bit interested in learning Greek or Hebrew to understand the Bible. And I couldn't care less what Hebrew says about it or Greek says about it. I want to know what God says about it. And if all you scholars out there don't have the ability to find out how God's able to speak to us without using your Greek and your Hebrew, you ain't got it. Hallelujah. I'll read it. It always ends up being what God already said to me, so, you know, what's the use of trying to figure it all out? But I will do it sometime just to double check. So often, God, you know, His Word is there. It's in the Greek and it's in the Hebrew, and you can get out the lexicon and try to figure it all out. And it always comes back, yeah, that's what I already knew. Because you get it from God if you know how to seek after God. And even a child can do this. Praise God. You don't have to go to college to do this. To the church at Philadelphia, and to the angel of the church. In case you don't know who that is, it's the pastor of the church. It's the person who is in charge of the church, wherever in this particular church. It's to the person, the leader in charge of that church, referred to in the King James English Bible as the angel of the church. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast. Everybody say, hold that fast, which thou has. And our way of saying it, hold on to what you got. That's my subject. You can be seated. Hold on to what you've got. And that hold that fast means hold tight to it. Grab a hold of it and hang on to it. Don't just lightly hold on to it. Anyone that's trying to say that, you know, it's complicated to live for God, it's hard to live for God, it's difficult to live for God, they don't know what it is to live for God yet. We're not here to judge anybody. It's just that there's so many opportunities in living for God that most people never realize because they never get there. You know, we appreciate any effort to go forward. Appreciate anything that's taught in any church or something trying to be a church to let people know there's a Jesus who wants to save your soul. We don't say go to the church of your choice because your choice needs to be the church that's right. And the church that's right is the church that preaches the truth. You know, you just say go to the church of your choice and you can think, well, maybe I should try this one or that one. No, most churches, I'm sorry to say again, do not preach the truth. They don't teach the truth. And they're teaching you part truth, and part truth mixed with false teaching is pretty damaging, and it's pretty dangerous to get yourself contaminated by it. You know, and that's not saying that we know something and nobody else can know it. It's not that at all. The reason I can so freely talk about this is even simple people like me can figure this out. We can grab a hold of this and just simply read the Word of God and find out what it says. And what it says is not what they're saying. It's not what they're saying. What it's teaching is not what's being taught in most churches. There's plenty of people out there that debate and argue with you, but when they don't have it and you've got it, why argue with them? Because they're not going to hear it since it has to be revealed. You can argue all day to people that think they know, and they are not going to hear you. All they're doing is waiting till you shut up so they can tell you what they think. That's exactly right. But if somebody's hungry, and that's the key thing for learning about God and knowing God and coming to God, being hungry for Him. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, according to the Word, shall be filled. Some people, they'll go for a while and then they just drop out. They drop out. And one of the scriptures refers to those type as, well, they went from us. Because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Us being not just our group, but us being the church. The Word also teaches that those that make a start and go forward and then they start looking back and go backward, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. If they're not fit for the kingdom of God, then they don't have any business teaching anybody about the kingdom of God. Because if you're not fit for the kingdom of God, you have shut off your water flow. There's no revelation coming to you anymore. You might know some things by memory, some things you've known in the past, but God has a way of being able to turn you over to believing your own thoughts, believing your own imaginations, following your own cunning devices, and He'll even allow you just to live in a world of illusions. And false ways, thinking you're right, simply because you decided, and it takes a decision to do this. Once you started out to live for God, if you're not living for Him now, you had to decide not to do it. Just as you decided to live for Him, praise God, then you decided not to if you're not living for Him today. I'm not here to blast anybody. I want to tell you something. I've been listening to these preachers that used to really get with it, and they got to my heart this week. And I'm so indoctrinated again, I may just spill it all out at one time. I just got through listening to 107 sermons, and they were all under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And they poured in me. I don't have them all memorized, but I want to tell you, they were all hitting the target, one after another. Just hit the word this at the end. One after another. Listen to five at once. They were all hitting it. Sometimes, in fact, I heard Brother Glass, he was preaching on two different recordings. Two different subjects. He was preaching separate sermons, not the same message, but he was preaching it. And at one point in the message, both recordings went, woo, at the same time. He got excited at the same moment, at the same time. completely different. And I wanted to say it with him. Woo! You know, because he was preaching the truth. He's been dead for a long time, but that, as Sister Lynn says, that word continues on. Hallelujah. And when you get to thinking about what you've got, then there's no really room for thinking about what you don't have. If you got this. When you got this, and you know you've got it, hold on to it. Hold fast to it. I think a lot of us don't really realize what we got a hold of. We're so influenced by this world and the news is negative. Turn on the TV or the radio, it's negative, 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 because they're talking about things that are happening that are bad, that are sad, real things that are happening. Gloom and doom. I'm telling you, the leaders of this whole world are walking the floor today. They don't know what to do. And you don't really have, they're shooting in the dark. They don't really have long-range knowledge of how things are going to turn out. They're thinking about trying this, trying that, but then there's always the debate. If you do this, what about that? And then there's always that crowd that, you know, that wants to find fault. And it's just a world of confusion out there, isn't it? It's a jungle out there. But inside the church, once you've gotten inside this thing and got a grip on God, don't lose your vision of what you've already got. Because what you have is victory. What you have is strength. What you have is love, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. What you have is God who's able to sustain you, keep you purified. Help your heart to stay clean. Help your steps to be ordered of the Lord. Hold on to that. Nothing else really matters. I mean, whatever else comes and goes, amen, hold on to what you've got. Amen. To the church at Philadelphia, Jesus was saying, I know what you've done. I know your works. I know that you have some strength. And I know that you have not denied my name. That's a good thing. To be in a church that does not deny the name. Aren't you glad you got a place that you can call your church that does not deny the name of Jesus? Jesus is pretty strict about his name. You think you can go to a church that denies the name of Jesus in baptism and make it to heaven? You better think again. Hallelujah. Jesus doesn't like that. You deny his name, you're going to get denied. Jesus loves people, but he's very, very strict about his name. The entire book that I have before me, the Bible, has passage after passage from cover to cover about things that are done for his name's sake. Thank you, Jesus. The whole Old Testament, all the battles, all the bloodshed, all the things that happened to lead all the people of God to the time of Jesus Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. It's all written. All the accounts of what happened are about things that happened for his name's sake. And then you get into this New Testament and the Gospels proclaim his name. And we are instructed to do all that we do in the name. And we are told in the Word of God there is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We are Jesus' name. Hold on to that. That's something to hold on to. Hold fast to what you've got. Hallelujah. We have not denied his name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. He said, I have loved you to this church of Philadelphia. I like to read this because I want to fit in with these people. I feel like we have something in common. Amen. I feel like that when I read the book concerning the church at Philadelphia here in Revelation, there's revelation that comes to me And I'm sure I'm not alone. It says, that's us. That's who we are. When I read the book of to the church or the letter to the church at Laodicea, I say, that's not us. That's not us. Amen. I want to stay where God is pleased. I want to do what pleases our Lord. There might be some among us that don't think it's important to listen to the preaching, you know, and may find other things to think about or other things to be interested in. But, you know, that's not going to stop us. Hallelujah. We're going to hold on to what we got, even if you don't. But you're welcome to come here and watch us hold on to it. Praise God. We have kept His Word. And He says He will keep us. He says there's going to be some things come on this world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. I like to read that. Behold, I come quickly. Some people read that and interpret it, you know, and I hear it over and over and I read about it over and over. That means He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. They write books about the second coming of the Lord. And I believe in the second coming. I believe He's coming soon, but soon can be a long, long time. I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. He's coming soon was written 2,000 years ago. And I'm saying He's coming soon, and it might still yet be 2,000 years. And I'm not here to scare you into thinking He's coming at any moment, so you better get right. This is more in the order of, behold, I come quickly. It's talking about here that this world is full of temptation. This world is full of trouble. There are things that will try them that dwell upon the earth. We're on this earth having church. We're on this earth having Jesus' name, Holy Ghost Church. And in this world of trouble, we get in some situations ourselves, we call on the name of Jesus. There's where the behold, I come quickly comes in. He's here right now in the twinkling of an eye. You call on Him, He's there. Behold, I come quickly in this troubled world, so hold that fast which you have. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't anybody take your ability to win this race. Don't let anything beset you, cause you to fall behind. Don't let anything take your promise of eternal life away from you. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. Oh, hallelujah. And I will write upon him the new name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. If you don't know what the new name is, let me just tell you, it's Jesus. It doesn't take a whole lot of study to figure that one out. That new name that you want written upon your life, that new name that you want to be called by is the name of Jesus. I will write my new name. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And behold, I come quickly.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Hallelujah. Behold, in other words, take a look at it. Consider what you've got. Remember what you know. Hang on to what you've got a hold of. Consider what it is that's keeping you. And then come back to what it takes to get you excited. Hallelujah. We have so much to be excited about, we should stay so positive and up all the time, that nothing could take our crown, that nothing could get us down, that nothing could beset us and cause us to feel like, I don't know.
Hallelujah.
There should never be any doubt amongst us if we're holding fast to what we got. Because what I got has all power in heaven and earth.
Amen.
Hold fast to what you got, and there is no room to slip and fall.
Right.
Hold fast to it.
Amen.
Jesus said that He would be with us and would never leave us. Hold on to that. Thank you, Jesus. Or, you know, we could be reaching or reading things like he wrote to some of these other churches that didn't do so well. I listened to an entire sermon recently about how even though these churches here in the book of Revelation were real churches, the lesson for today is I want to teach about the various church ages. And the minister talked about the time that we live in now is the time of the church of Laodicea. Well, he's off. And all those that follow that teaching are off. Hallelujah. Look, there is no church besides the true church. In any age in history, there is no other church. There are no fathers in the Word of God that have written books in the 17th century, 16th century, 18th century. If they're not Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, they are not our fathers in the gospel. And we're not associated with any of that. Because that's not the church. God's church is not Martin Luther and his rebellion against the Catholics. I'm not talking about Martin Luther King. I'm talking about way on back. A lot of people probably don't know, so I try to make things clear if I can. I'm talking about somebody that lived a long time ago and wrote some things in protest, started something that people refer to as the Protestant movement. We're not of that group called the Protestants either. You go to the hospital, they won't. You give them an answer to what you really are. They don't like that answer. They give you choices, and you're supposed to pick one of those. We're none of those. I always tell them, I'm none of the above. And they want me to say other. They want me to write that. But I tell them what the other is before I settle for that. Let me tell you why we're other. Praise God. That's probably the only chance they'll ever have to hear it. They may not want to hear it, but you never know. There have been people that have just walked up to Jesus' name, Holy Ghost folks, sitting at a restaurant. A waitress walks up and just starts talking. And later the testimony comes from that same person standing in some Holy Ghost church somewhere. I'm so thankful I stumbled onto these people at that restaurant that night. Because in just a few words, I found out there's something different. And I went searching, and I found myself filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. There have been many taxicab drivers and conferences that I've attended through the years that at the beginning of the week, they were just taxicab drivers. But by the end of the week, they were Holy Ghost-filled Jesus' name taxicab drivers. Because when you get around the people of God, somebody's going to rub off on you. Thank you, Lord. You go in these cities like Salt Lake City, Utah. We went into Salt Lake City, and at the beginning, it was just taxicab drivers taking us all from the airport over to the place where the Mormons meet. We met in the same place and shouted and spoke in tongues. But we went over there, and all these people that were taking us, they were Mormons. They were Mormons, and we told them what we were. They couldn't comprehend it. But when you got 35,000 people riding in their cabs all week long. By the end of the week, they were standing inside that auditorium with hands uplifted, speaking in tongues. I'm talking about cab drivers. There have been a lot of barbers got saved just because a preacher or either some saint just walked in needing a haircut, which I need to go see one myself right now. Hallelujah. Hold on to what you've got. You have Jesus in your soul. You've got the one who is the witness, the true witness. He is the one that is able to do what you can't do. If you're timid and you don't feel like you can knock on somebody's door or go out and talk to somebody, just go with Jesus. He knows what to do. It's like, you know, when you're being trained on any kind of a job, a lot of times they'll team you up with somebody that knows more than you know. Somebody that has more experience than you've got. And they'll send you out And you're to watch them. Watch how they do it. In our case, we've got Jesus. And in most of us, we have years of hearing about it, seeing the demonstration of how it works. So if we're still not able to do it, we still need to go. Because He's still there to be laborers with us in the field. And so when we go with Jesus, we do things sometimes we didn't know we could do. We say things we didn't know we knew how to say. You ever done that? You ever been involved in just trying to figure out what you're going to say, and all of a sudden you said something and it was the right thing? Thank you, Jesus. What a surprise. Jesus is able to talk through your lips. I was thinking about a person this morning that lies a lot. I know this individual tells a lie, and I had this thought come to my mind concerning this person. Not a person here, it's a person in another place. But I thought about how this person just lies all the time. And I just said out loud, I was talking to myself, if that individual ever told the truth, it would break her tongue. Because I was just thinking about what a liar. This person I've known for years. You don't know this person. It's somebody, none of you, nobody you know. But she just can't tell the truth. It's just, even if there's no reason to lie, she lies. She lies, and she's a business person. If you work for her, she tries to teach you to lie like she lies. In fact, her way of looking at it was this, because I worked for her at one time. If you can't lie for me, turn them over to me, because I can lie. And she says, they're not going to buy this stuff if you tell them the truth. Can you imagine how hard it is to go to church and want to worship God and have the Holy Ghost and have to listen to that all day long? That's what I was having to put up with. There'd be people drive up in a nice new car, and this lady would look at them through the big storefront window. I was a store manager, but I think it was entitled only because when the big ones came, that was her time to take over. But she said, now, Ren, you see these people coming? If you can't lie, turn them over to me. I said, you know I ain't going to lie. Then turn them over to me. So I'd turn them over to her, and I'd stand back and listen. Now, they're looking at this merchandise here that's worth maybe $2,000. And so they walk in. She says, well, hi there. So what can I do for you today? And, well, we was thinking about maybe this or that. Well, let me show you what I've got. It just came in. The thing's been sitting there for 8 months, and we've just not been able to sell it at all. It just came in. Fresh off the truck. It's the latest one out. Just came in. And they want us to reduce it down to $5,000. But I was just talking to Ren here. And I decided we're going to let this thing go for $2,500 to the next customer walks through that door that's chosen interest in it. Now, she could have sold it for about $800, made a profit. But then when she looked at me and she said, right, Ren? I had to really, you know, she's the one that paid my paycheck every week. She's the one that expected me to be at work on time every day. She's the one that had some authority there since she was the owner's wife. Right, Ren? In other words, back me up in my lie, Holy Ghost filled Jesus' name person. Lie with me. Tell a lie with me. Let's pull a good one over these people. Let's get some money out of them. And you know what? I was going to make 10% of whatever she sold it for, no matter what it was. But I didn't feel good about making anything off that deal. Right, Ren? And I'd say things like, well, actually, you know, you told us that when one person is working with a customer, the rest are supposed to stay out of it, so you go ahead. Yeah, but Ren, you know, we were talking about that, right? Yeah, we were talking about it. And then she would go on. I felt like I almost lied even by agreeing with her that we talked about it. But it didn't take long for the customers to look at her and look at me and walk out and say, you know, I don't think we're interested today. Several times I'd go back to those same people when she wasn't around. And I would say things like, you know what? I'm so glad that you didn't buy that instrument. Because you know what I know, right? Of course, I lost a job later, but as long as it lasted, this kind of stuff I did. And I would hear them say stuff, yeah, that woman was lying through her teeth. And I'd say, right. Now, let me tell you the truth. I may lose my job, but I don't care. But if you want that instrument or any other instrument in that building, you talk to me, and I'll be truthful with you. And I'll help you with it. You know what? I sold a bunch of stuff that way. Sold so much by just telling the truth that those people decided they needed to put a limit on how much they paid me. Put a ceiling on it because I was doing quite well. And everybody that walked in that store would say, is Ren here? Hey, we're in a church of truth. Hang on to what you got. If you're going somewhere and they're teaching you something, if they're teaching you that you can be baptized any other way than the name of Jesus, if they call me and say, right, Ren, I'm just going to say, no. That's a lie. Get out of that mess. They're denying the name of Jesus. If you deny my name, I will deny you, saith the Lord. Hold on to what you got, Jesus' name, people. You got the name that's able to bring down giants. You got the name that's able to heal you when you're sick. You got the name that's able to save you when you're lost. You got the name that's able to take you all the way to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know your works. Behold, I set before you an open door. No man can shut it. You have a little strength, and you've kept my word and have not denied my name. He said, behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved you. Now, bringing that up to our day, I mean, this is written back when there wasn't all that many people like us serving God yet. But bringing it up to our day, you could read it like this, and it's the same thing. I'll make those that are going to the false church, those that are teaching false ways, which say that they are children of God, but they're lying. I'll make them to come and worship God with you and to know that I've loved you because you people have the truth. That's exactly what he's saying. Hallelujah. Because you've kept the word of my patience, and I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come on all the world to try them that dwell in the earth. Behold, I come quickly. So hold that fast. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I was seeking for God, when I got to the point that I was really desperate, I thought of all the things that I already knew I had been taught. And I simply did what the preacher had been saying. And when I did it, he came quickly. After several months of seeking, I finally did what I knew to do, and he was there. I just got through uploading a message on our goodpreaching.com. Quality's not good. It's a little handheld tape recorder. Somebody coughing on it a lot and all that. But the message will pierce your heart. Unless you're so callous and hard that you've gotten to the point that hell doesn't bother you. The thought of hell doesn't bother you. You don't even believe there's a hell. And it's not going to change the fact that there is one. The title of the message is Hell is Calling. And I put the title on it myself after I listened to it all the way through. I became spellbound, and I wasn't listening to the quality, I was listening to the message. The brother preaching the message, was raised in a home, raised in a church, and a church of truth. And they had quite a big membership. But some church trouble broke out and things, and his dad got discouraged. His dad, who was the pastor, got discouraged and threw in the towel and quit serving God. Became a drunk, and he died that way. He has one message on there. His name is Brother T.G. McNeely, who is the preacher. And back in the 60s and 70s, he was quite strong in revival meetings and a strong pastor. But he has one message on there that a lot of times people will write to me, can I just get that one message called Trophies of Hell? And he talks about those that have been tripped up by Satan. Those that are not going to make it, but they had a taste of it. They know what it's like to walk with Jesus for a while, but they died lost. Trophies of Hell. It'll tear you up. But this message today that we discovered yesterday that was sent to me by a friend in California, one of his messages is probably the only tape of that message in existence, and we've got it because the tape was very muffled. You could hardly hear it. We had to raise the volume and try to knock out some noise on it. But when we got it where it was listenable, the message that came through that probably hasn't even been heard since the mid-70s by any ear pierced my heart. Hell is calling. And he talked about things such as, you people sitting in the church, if you could only get a glimpse of how hard you'll pray when you get to hell, it wouldn't take you over 3 minutes to receive the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, you people who have lost loved ones who didn't make it, who didn't live for God. And he used the analogy of Jesus teaching with the parable of the rich man Lazarus. And he said, if your mother died and went to hell, if you could just hear her prayer, how much she wants you to be saved. If you could just pray a little bit like she would be praying, it wouldn't take you over a couple of minutes to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to preach a sermon because I can't do it like he... If he had been using this pulpit would have been in pieces. Yeah. He went for a solid hour. Boom! You know, preaching. Boom! Hitting the pulpit. Just, you know. You think I get loud sometimes? This guy makes me look like just a real soft, easygoing preacher. And he preached hell hot and strong. You don't hear that in any preaching nowadays, hardly. And he reminded me, Jesus taught more about hell than he did heaven. There's more reference to hell in the New Testament than there is to reference about heaven. Hallelujah. He went through some things to back up his statement that hell is real. It's a real thing. It's really going to happen. People are really going to go there and be separated from God and burn forever. But it wasn't that he was using tear tactics. There was a tear in his voice. There was an extreme urgency, please don't go there, in his voice. An appeal, reaching out, saying, please give God some space in your life because you don't want to go to hell. You know what? The more I listen to that man, the more I grabbed a hold a little tighter of what I've already got. We got what it takes not to go to hell. We got what it takes to end up in heaven. And I'm not just serving God because I don't want to go to hell. But let me tell you something. If there were no hell, there would be no real reason for us to come to church. You might say, well, I don't agree with that. I want to come to church anyhow. Well, you might think so. But if you know there's nothing out there called hell, and you can live any way you want to live and do anything you want to do, It'd be a lot of times when you'd have some excuses not to go to church because you could just worship God anywhere you want to. It wouldn't matter if you disrespect your pastor or whatever because you're not going to go to hell anyhow. It doesn't matter if you say a few cuss words along the way because you're not going to go to hell anyhow if there is no hell. It wouldn't matter if you tell a few lies because you're not going to go to hell anyway. This is not the message he was preaching. It's what I'm telling you about now. If there is no hell, I want to serve God. I know you want to serve God, but if there is no hell, there's no need to have a church. And we're just a bunch of fools. Think about it. It's easy to think, well, you know, I would serve God anyhow if there were no hell. Well, God wants us to serve Him because we love Him. And I do love Him. Don't you love Him? But you know what? There's a promise of heaven to those that do love Him and those that do serve Him. And there's a warning to those that don't want to serve Him that there is a hell prepared for the devil and his followers. And hell hath enlarged itself. And the Lord is trying to let us know we don't have to end up there. He has something better prepared for His children. And this world is cursed and everybody's on their way to hell. Except those who call out to Jesus and decide they don't want to go there. And for whatever reason we turn to Jesus, if we find Him, hold on to Him. Because He's not going to go to hell. Hallelujah. He's going to take you to heaven. Hold that fast which you have. And you folks are waiting for the evangelist to come. So then you're going to get with it. You probably never will get with it because if you can't get with it now, we may never have another evangelist come other than the one that's here right now. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost, you need to let God fill you with this Holy Ghost. If you need healing, let God heal you. If you need a better attitude, let God change you. And once you get a hold of it, just right, hang on to it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know how to preach a pretty sermon. I know how to prepare an outline. I know how to have an outline and a body and a conclusion. I know how to do all of that. I don't think that you're expecting that of me. But I think what you want is what I want. I just want God to speak to my heart. And what He's saying to us today is, hang on to what you got. Hold on, because what you got some strength. You got doors open that nobody can shut. And you have closed yourself out to the world and nobody can open those doors. No man can cause you to go astray. There's nothing in this world that can cause you to be lost. Hold on to what you got. There are problems in the world, and there are things coming on the world to try the world, but you don't have to let that be a hindrance to you. Hold that fast which you have. Don't let anybody take the fact away that you are a winner, and you're a winner now. Thank you, Jesus. Would you praise Him? Would you praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that overcomes, Jesus said, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be changed into a great old big pole that's holding up some kind of a building. You know, you're not going to be like one of these things here. That means you're going to be a strong person that can't be moved. You're going to be a part of this thing and nothing's going to hold you back. He will make you a pillar in the house of God and a temple of God. He will cause you to be something that helps keep this thing going. He will strengthen you if you hold fast to what you got. Hey, this isn't a thing where you get stagnant. It's not a thing where you grab a hold of it and then you just stay the same all the time. God is a very ambitious, forward-moving, go-for-it-now, do-what-it-takes God. And every day of your life and my life can be a new adventure. And we don't know how it's going to turn out, but we're just happy because it's interesting. It's exciting. Something good's going to happen today. I just know it. Thank you, Lord. I'm closing, but just a few words. We don't have church twice a day on Sunday. And this is not a long time, getting in the afternoon. What else you got to do? Yeah. Do I have to stop just because it's that part of the message? Or can I go on? Or are you going to, you know? If we had a person here that had something new to tell you, would you want to stay a little while longer? How about Jesus has a new name for you that's strong enough to keep you forever? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody here want to live forever with Jesus? Anybody out there want to serve Jesus and live for Him forever? Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody want to worship Him in spirit and in truth? How long has it been since you've been poured out completely? How long has it been since you denied yourself completely and just gave in all the way? How long has it been? Thank you, Jesus. How long has it been since you've been to church without something else on your mind? Thank you, Lord. How long has it been since you've listened to a whole sermon without your mind drifting? Forget that world right now. You're not of this world, and so we come into a place where we can say, hey, I'm in the house of God. Nothing goes wrong here. This is a good place. This is a place that has a door open, and I can stay here, and I can enjoy the open door that let me in, but I don't have to go out, because the same door that's open to put me in will stay shut until I want it open for me to go. Because no man can force me to do anything here. I'm in the temple of my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to be part of that Philadelphia church all the time. Amen, amen. Worship Him with me right now. Don't wait on what I'm going to say. I got some things to say, but I'm not here to entertain you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking to a winning church today, but there's some of us that are not part of it. That's why I'm lingering, because some of you don't have it. Some of you don't get it. And there's not very many of us, so I don't have to go very far for you to think I'm talking about you. God wouldn't be putting this in me if it wasn't true. There's some of us here that are not really here. Some of us think we're saved and we're not really saved. Some of us are not on fire and you just go to church. That's it. And you're here and you can't wait for this preacher to shut up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you what, if strong men of God that can be preaching for years, pastoring churches, and do exploits for God can get a little discouraged because troubles come and they fall away and become a drunk, don't think that you're going to get away with it just becoming half-heartedly to church and not putting your whole heart in this thing. You can fall away too, and I'm trying to rescue you today. To put something in your heart to say, look, you need to call on God. You need to deny yourself. You need to cry out to God and say, I've been a fool. I need to get a hold of this thing with all I got. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him. Let's praise Him. He's praiseworthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's praiseworthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Cares of life should never be able to beset a child of God. Problems in life should never offset the victory that you enjoy. cares of this world should not in any way entice you or influence you while you're in the house of God. Nothing of this world should cause you to be so tired that you can't worship God with everything you've got. Hallelujah! There's no voice, there's no entertainment, no TV, no radio, no music that's as important as this message you're hearing right now. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hold on to what you got. You got a good church that preaches the truth, that baptizes in Jesus' name, that absolutely denies that there's a triune three-person God. That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's one God. God is a spirit, and they that worship this one God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. These are the true worshipers of which we are part of. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The revelation that Jesus Christ tells us that there are going to be some mighty big battles fought. Some mighty big battles fought. People are looking for that big battle that's going to happen, the Armageddon battle where the blood's going to flow up to the bridles of the horses. Let me tell you where the biggest battles are going on right now. Right here in this place, in your hearts and your minds. You're trying to make a decision. Should I go for this all the way or can I just stay like I am? Let me tell you something. If you don't get past the way you are, you're not going to make it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. God wants us to be more like Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. I got some stuff I want to say, but they're strong. What I've said so far is not strong. I don't want to kill you with the Word of God. And some of you are hanging over hell so tight right now. I mean, so close that didn't just start now. It's been going on a long time. You're not going to make it. I'm just telling you now, you're not going to make it unless you cry out to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we want you to make it. We want you to make it. What usually happens when a preacher says things like that, though? Those spirits of resentment and those that are not going to make it rise up. And they start thinking, I don't like the way he's talking. Probably thinking about me. Now, I know as I say these words, there are those here that just had those thoughts. And you are the ones I'm talking to. Don't go to hell. Thank you, Jesus. If you ever tasted of this and you can't taste it now, what happened? Wasn't God good? He's good now. Let me tell you, He's still good. The bread didn't mold. Hallelujah. The water is still fresh. All it takes is just changing your attitude. Saying, I want God with all my heart. Trouble with some of us, we compare ourselves among ourselves, and the Bible says, don't do that. Look at that one and look at this one. Well, if they're an example of what I'm supposed to be, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Well, you're not going to make it with that attitude. Look, if everybody else in this place is not right, and you want to get right, you're in church that preaches truth. Hallelujah. Make up your mind. You go for it. You can do this. And once you get a hold of it, hang on to it. Hold on to this with all you got, no matter who does what. Some of us won't make it, but some of us will. Praise Him with me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know what that open door is that we've got set before us? It's Jesus Christ Himself. He is our open door. He is the open door set before us. Every victory you need is right there in the name of Jesus. You call on that name and He is there to supply your need. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen a lot of people supposedly get saved in big revival crusades where the whole crowd is jumping and shouting and the preacher is making an appeal. And because there are 50, 60, or maybe a couple of hundred people crying out in the loud voices and there's the emotion, everybody's there, you see all this wonderful, wonderful stuff happening. But I noticed many times after all the excitement goes, whatever it was, it seemed to be that they got a hold of also leaves. It's not always the case, but so many times have I seen such excitement and zeal about God, only to find those who were weeping with hands uplifted in that service a few days later, living in sin. What we're looking for in this place is just one more person that says, I want to get rid of this world in my life once and for all. And I want to grab a hold of God with my whole heart. And you don't have to have a bunch of excitement around you to do this. You don't have to have a bunch of hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord, and people shaking you and trying to wiggle your tongue for you. You don't have to have anything but you and God. And we're just here to say praise God and amen while you break through to the Holy Ghost or whatever it is you need from God today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if this is not the real thing, I don't know where you can go to find it, because this is real. And if it's not, then I want to find what it is and I'll go there. Let's all come around the front. This is right. This is pure. This is, you might call, the raw stuff. You know, it's as clean as it gets. Hallelujah. Take what you want out of it and use it. Thank you, Jesus. Uncut, straight from God. Thank you, Jesus. It's yours. Now, I've done my part. How about you doing your part? Is there anything you need from God? You know what to do. I can't do it for you. I talk, I preach, I teach. Now, I've done my part. You need anything? God been good to you? You need Him to come quickly and attend to something in your life? He will. He's here. Hallelujah. Ain't mad at nobody. I'm here to say, hey, let's go for this. Don't let anybody take your crown. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody take your... Don't even let yourself take your crown. Put your body down. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. I hear ritualism. I hear repetitions. I hear the same old thing. I don't hear a deep call to God going on anywhere in this building. And you might be saying, well, what do you want me to do? Nothing, if that's what you're thinking. Nothing. Don't do nothing. But is there anybody that wants to go to heaven here? What do you want to do? Leave this place just like you left every time before, with more heartaches and things to bother you all day, all night. Things to complain about. Things to grieve over. Come back to church the last minute, hoping it'll be a short service. Miss a few services because it doesn't matter anyhow, after the preacher spent years saying it's important for you to go to every church service. Because the Word of God says, do it. Forsake not the assembling After the pastor said, meet 30 minutes before church and pray. Where are you? Some of you do. Some of you don't. Doesn't matter what the pastor says. We've known him a long time. We know how he is. Now stay like that. Do it if you want to. I think there might be two or three of us here that says, I'm tired of the way it's been, and I want to move forward now, and let's go for something greater. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have to hear my voice for you to praise God and worship God? Has anybody here got any initiative at all that says, I'm going to call on Him? I can't make you do it. If you don't want to, don't. Praise God, but I just poured my heart out to you, trying to tell you you got something to hold on to. Now I'm asking you to praise God, seek after God. If you're waiting for me to get through so you can get through, you don't have it. You don't have anything to hold on to. Oh, Adam, where art thou? Heard your voice in the preacher, but I hid myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to come across as a strong make them do it. Look, anytime somebody has to sound forcible to you to get you to worship God, when you worship God, it's probably not worship. Hallelujah. Somebody that really wants something from God, they don't care who's talking, how loud or soft, a hunger after righteousness, a thirst after something that's deep, from the deep wells of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Some people think so much that they can't even pour their hearts out. Too many thoughts. Too many thoughts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You want me to draw you a list of all the people that stood here just like you're standing here now that are living out there in sin today? I warn them too. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. The Holy Ghost is here. The power of God is here. When you get to analyzing my sermon and judging me for being a good or bad preacher, maybe you can get past all that and find God. I'm not necessarily talking to everybody. I'm following the leading of the Spirit of God. And look, I know a lot more than you think I know. God doesn't appoint pastors to pastor people and then keep them in the dark. I know what's going on. I know where Satan's seat is. And I know where those are that say they are of the household of faith and are not in this building right now. And some of us standing around waiting on us to get through while others are about to go to hell. If you can't pray for yourself enough to get yourself consecrated like you should, pray that God would save some that need God today that are not taking this seriously. And I can't make them do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you think, I wonder who he's talking about. Look, stop thinking like that. If I wanted you to know, I'd call their names. If God wanted you to know, He'd have revealed it to you instead of the pastor. It's not your place. Your place is to be calling on God so they can call on Him too in the middle of the worship. Because if two or three of us really do believe this stuff, God is going to meet with us and there's going to be a miracle take place. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes feel like I'm riding in a plastic car trying to preach to artificial substance. I'm not calling all of y'all artificial, but look, We need to be baptizing some people. We need to see some tears flowing. Somebody with a broken heart contrite before God say, look, I don't want to just go to church. I want to serve God. Hallelujah. You got an easygoing pastor here. You got a church here that's really easy on you. You can't serve God here. You probably won't serve Him anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I'm not here to try to entertain anybody. I don't get to care what you think. I spent most of my life preaching and teaching and trying to talk to people that won't listen. I'll keep on till I die, but it's not going to change the fact that you need to listen to God. They're just people that come amongst just don't care. Don't believe. Don't see eye to eye, so they'll do it their way. Look, you just can't do that. You don't have to see eye to eye, but you got to do it God's way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to dismiss you because we haven't done what God wants us to do. But I don't want to force you to do what I know God wants you to do, because that's not going to get it done either. But if there's anybody hungry for God, the food is here, and if you're not going to eat it, that's your business. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want the Holy Ghost, receive it. Jesus. Don't resent the preacher. Receive the Holy Ghost. If you want a blessing, get blessed. Jesus is here. I'm going to tell you, just as soon as the conditions are right, He'll come quickly. You can get it over with fast. He comes quickly. Hallelujah. You can either leave here feeling like you've been defeated, or you can say, they didn't take my crown. I'm going out of here with victory today. Hallelujah. Let no man take your crown. What do you got to go for that's so important that you need to get out right now? How about a couple of minutes with Jesus? How about just a couple of minutes with Jesus? Hallelujah. Real, real minutes with Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, God, I claim authority over every mocking spirit, every lying tongue, everything that tries to exalt itself against God. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Bind it in Jesus' name. Everything that tries to lift itself up and say, I don't have to get in on this like the others. Every false way, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It only takes a moment to change your destiny. Hallelujah. Just a moment can make a difference in eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Just a moment. Hallelujah. Don't think about the clock. Think about this moment. Grab a hold of it. Thank you, Jesus. I won't always be here. Some of us won't be here soon. Praise God. Grab a hold of this moment. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Baptize us, Lord, immerse us in the Holy Spirit. Let the baptism of the Holy Ghost fall upon us all. Oh, God, let us all be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus, lighten our fire. Cause us, Lord, to know that we've been to church and we've been healed and we've been blessed. Cause us to leave this place, Lord, knowing that we grabbed a hold of something that we had almost let slip out of our lives in some cases. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Search us, O God. Try us. See if there's anything that needs to be brought to your attention. And fix it, Lord, so we can hold on better. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He was nailed to the cross, bled and died. According to some people, that's so we could just go on and live any way we want to live because He did everything for us. But they're all wrong. The reason He paid the price is so you could get sin out of your life. Thank you, Jesus. The blood was shed for you. The blood was shed for you. Thank you, Jesus, for He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when people have drifted away from God. Hallelujah. You don't have to be cussing, smoking, or drinking for the pastor to know. You can be going through all the right actions and showing up at church and the pastor still knows. Because God doesn't hide this from His pastors. Hallelujah. And I'm just trying to hold on to what we've got. I'm not even talking about revival with a bunch of new people. I'm just trying to say, hey, let's hold on fast to what we got. Because we got some folks here that need this today. And the rest of you don't know anything because you're not the pastor and you're not God. You ought to just be worshiping with everything you got because I'm reaching for somebody right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're innocent and it's not you, why don't you just praise God? You really do have something to hold on to. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you something. When somebody leaves the church and comes back, they're never the same again. It's never like it was if they had never left. I don't care how much we forgive them, how much we worship God with them. You never have the same thing that you had before you went away. You've got God, but it's never quite like it could have been. And we thank God for you. And you can go to heaven. But some of you are just before going out. And I want to tell you something. It would be better for you to stop now and stay with it. And grab hold a little tighter. And don't let your mind want to say, I wonder who he's talking about. You need to be praying. God knows. And I know. But I ain't telling you. Even if it's you and you ask me, I'm still not telling you. But if you ask me, it probably is you. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. One more time. Just maybe this one time somebody will decide, I'm going to stick with this thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I want to hang on tighter than I've ever held on. I want to have more of God than I've ever known before. I want to preach better than I've ever preached. I want to sing better than I've ever been able to sing. I want to testify with more unction than I've ever testified with. I want to be stronger than I've ever been, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied with the way it was, although I thank God for it, but I want more. I want more, Jesus. I want more, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, Jesus, Lord.